Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, April 14th, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the third chapter, we're on page 30, bottom of the page, fourth paragraph, which starts, "We are like men who have lost their legs," reading into the top of page 31, "but it hasn't done so yet." The readers for today, the 12 steps, we have Anne Marie M., 12 Traditions, Jen P. Reader of the text is Tony B., page 164, Tamara C. Our backup reader today is Rena L. Our newcomer greeter is Cheryl L., and our second hour host is Matt J.F. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, April 13th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,363. That's 23,363. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,364. That's 23,364. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm now going to ask Anne Marie M. to please come in and read the 12 steps. Come on in, Anne Marie.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Okay, the 12 steps of OA. 1, we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Anne Marie. I'm now going to ask Jen P. to please read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Jen.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Jen P. from New Jersey, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on sharing what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be able to time you this morning. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the big book. We're on chapter 3, page 30. The bottom of the page, fourth paragraph, we are like men who have lost their legs. Reading to the end of that paragraph on page 31, but it hasn't done so yet. I'm now going to ask Tony B. to please begin reading. Come on in, Tony.
Thank you, Kathy. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. We have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there has been brief recovery, followed always by a still worse relapse. Physicians who are familiar with alcoholism agree there is no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. Science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. Great paragraph and strong image, useful image, that we're like people who've lost their legs. It's final. It's a fact, it cannot be changed, and this is the level of acceptance of my condition as a compulsive overeater that I need to get to. It's a reality. I have this thing. I'm not going to grow new legs once I've lost my legs. I'm not going to become a normal eater if I am a real compulsive overeater. And you know, there's no treatment that will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. So there's only we're not ever going to change. That's the point. It's the pickle and the cucumber. I really am a compulsive overeater, and I'm not ever going to be not that. And you know, there's a solution. There's a program of action, and there are things that I can do to stay recovered from the disease, but I'm never not going to have the disease. It's a bit of a paradox, but that's the way it is. And it says we have tried every imaginable remedy. I really did not want to be this real compulsive overeater. And I came into OA in 2011, and I had 12 years of not accepting that I really was, and thinking that I could do this in half measures, and whether it be, I don't know if I thought it was a matter of finding the right food plan. I don't think so, really. I wanted still to eat. I wanted my cake and eat it. And I suppose, in the sense of, I tried. What was I trying? I was trying coming to meetings and thinking it would kind of just trickle in. I'd be able to find some kind of recovery that was acceptable to me, that was enough. And it got worse and worse. This disease is progressive, and it's permanent. And it's saying here, I might have brief recovery. I would say brief periods of abstinence anyway. I'm not sure it would ever really be called recovery, what I had before this last time of it really sinking in, what I am. But it's always going to be followed by a still worse relapse. And, there is no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. I will always be a compulsive overeater. But
it's time for me.
And I'll leave it there. Thanks for letting me share, Kathy. I pass.
Tony, thank you so much for getting us started. And now I'm going to take some names. If you want to share, please press star 1.
Charles
to H. Unmute yourself.
Lisa Joe B.
May I share?
Yeah,
Natalie, value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back and so that they can share their experience too. So for right now, I have Charles H. I have Jason KP. If you put your name out and I didn't hear you, please let me know now. Thank you.
Verita
L. Illinois.
Did you get me?
Who's from Illinois?
Harlan.
Deb Z.
Who is
Deb
from
Z
Illinois?
Deb Z from Illinois.
Verita P. from Cleveland, Ohio.
And then I have, Deb Z from Illinois and Lee H. And who's from Ohio?
From Cleveland, Ohio.
Thank you, Jarita. Nancy
Michelle M.
Liz
on
Nancy Oregon.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Is there a Nancy and a Michelle?
Oh. Nancy R. New York.
Thank you,
and
Nancy.
Michelle M.
Is there
Vinny S.
Liz S.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. Okay, so this is who we have: Charles H., Jason, Deb from Illinois, Lee H., Dorita P., Nancy R., Michelle, Vinny, and Lynn. So we'll go with that first lineup, and after Lynn, we will take a second lineup. But if anyone just came in, we're on page 30. The end of the page, fourth paragraph, goes into the top of 31. And Charles, please come in and share with us. Hey, Charles, I don't hear you.
Yeah, I was before reacting. Thank you, Kathy. You're such a smooth operator. I appreciate your service. We don't grow new legs back regardless of how much sobriety. This shows me that a one day at a time wheelchair that I'm grateful to sit in. Spiritually, right? Like, you know, not from a, I'm telling you what to do. This is a show and tell mission. You know, somebody shows me and I tell it to somebody else. I'm not here to get popular in a mental illness program. I'm here because my life depends on it. And most times it's not about the food front. It's about playing myself out like, yep, I got this, and I am God, and, you know, you need to listen to what I got to say because it's so important. And most people get played out. I got played out. Matter of fact, I wasn't even recovered when I got played out. I was talking a lot, and I was not listening to the great suggestions from this wonderful big book. So it's a show-and-tell mission. I'm grateful to take my seat in my spiritual wheelchair, and I'm grateful to learn. I know we got a big list, so I'm going to pass.
We can't hear you, Mama.
We can't hear you.
This is Jason KP. I'm going to be bold here and moderate for 5 seconds and say, Jason KP from Pennsylvania, you're up next. Well, I thank you, moderator. bear with me here as hopefully she gets back online. I'm Jason KP from Pennsylvania. And apologize for jumping the gun there in terms of putting my name out. I thought we were given names, but appreciate the enthusiasm on the line today. And, you know, step one, which is what we're talking about here, is really just about hopelessness, you know, just burning into the consciousness of your new person and ourselves when we're taking this step that, you know, we suffer from this permanent, progressive, fatal disease. And Bill says it in a number of different ways, you know, and some of these different ways like hit me different, you know, this, oh, we're like men who have lost their legs and never grow new ones. Okay, it's permanent. I can picture that. But when he said we've warped our minds and bodies to such an extent that only an act of providence can save us, like that hits me in the gut. So Bill says this in 100 different ways. And you know, if we have this sense of hope, well, maybe I'll just get into the program and, you know, come out in 6 months, graduated a year, whatever. It's just not going to happen. And he talks about, you know, there's no treatment. Science hasn't figured this out yet. And we've tried every imaginable remedy. And in different parts of the book, he talks about these in detail, you know, never taking the morning drink, switching from beer to wine. You know, and I think it's really helpful to look at our own histories to really reflect and to see, you know, what were those things we tried and sometimes, you know, we think of it as like the countless vain attempts. And, you know, I got a certification in hypnosis to try to hypnotize myself. And I spent so many hours on therapist couches trying to figure out my triggers. And I truly didn't understand, you know, what was really, really going on. And, you know, towards the end, I stopped trying different things. I think I knew deep down that any new pay-in way, any new whatever, it just wasn't going to work. And I honestly couldn't even find the willingness to try it. Like, again, I've warped my body and mind to such an extent. My mind couldn't even wrap my mind around one more solution, the fear of failure. You know, and then always my inner resolve, you know, fasting, I'm not going to eat today. I binged yesterday. 10 minutes later, I'm eating, you know, just out of control, dejected, demoralized. I knew on some level deeply, I was down for the count. And on some level, I thought, you know, it's going to get really bad and I'm going to finally make up my mind. And this was the downward spiral that eventually led to my deep surrender, the untenability of the way I was living. And, you know, when we look at newcomers, we can ask them, are you done? You know, this is permanent. You're never going to get better. It's progressive, right? Are you done? Are you willing to give this up for good and for all, to go to any lengths to recover? And I believe that for good and for all kind of mentality is in working with others. So apologize for jumping around here. Thankful to be a part of this meeting this morning. And moderator, can we try it again? I'll pass.
Hey, it's Kathy. Can you hear me now? Can I be heard now?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason, for coming in, and thank you for your share. That was Jason KP from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Deb, followed by Lee, then Dorita. Deb, can you give us the first initial of your last name, and please come in and share with us?
Sure. It's Z, like zebra. I'm Deb Z. I'm from Illinois, and I'm a newly recovered compulsive overeater. It was about 3 months ago that I finally made the decision that I am truly a compulsive overeater. I've been coming to program for almost 30 years, and I've had those brief periods of abstinence, some of them as long as 3 years, and there was always this thought in the back of my brain when I would hear people talk about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And I would say, yeah, I have that. That's me. That's me. I got it. I'm here. I'm home. Right. But there was always this little voice in the back of my head that was saying, sure you do. You don't really believe that. Now do ya? And started working with a new sponsor about 3 months ago, and she got me on Vision for You, and she told me to start rereading the big book, and it was like somebody hit me in the head with the side of the big book, because all of a sudden I started having all these realizations about that little voice. Like, I heard it, but I never acknowledged that it was there, although it was running my life. And so once I went, hey, wait a minute, where's that little voice? It's gone. I was like, oh, because I'm finally accepting that I am a true compulsive overeater, and that the whole thing with the cucumber and the pickle, that's me. I am diagnosed diabetic, and that's not going to change. But I don't have to be the miserable, person that I was before. I can work my program better than I was before. I can be more true to my program, more true to myself, and more true to my higher power. And that, for me, that's where my recovery is. Really trying to focus on what my higher power wants for me. And he does not want me upset and popping off at my husband in the morning. He does not want me pouting about not getting my own way. He does not want me, practicing all of those character defects. And I have to rely a lot on my higher power, especially now, being new in recovery. I have to, forever I'll have to rely heavily on my higher power, because I just, I don't apparently know how to do life without him. So I guess with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. That's Deb Z from Illinois. Next up, we have Lee H, followed by Dorita, and then Nancy. Lee, can you tell us where you're calling in from, and please share with us?
Yes, thank you so much, Kathy. This is Lee H, and I'm in Tennessee. And so glad to be here. I am a real compulsive overeater and have been in these rooms for several years now. I have not shared in a while. I kind of went out thinking, well, I'll do my religious practice, and I don't really need to always listen to these meetings. And then my higher power just led me back, and I'm so grateful to be here. And I particularly love this chapter because this is just more convincing of, that thing, that denial, that thing that just continues to irritate me and corrupt me, thinking that I'm not, that I don't have a problem. And I imagine it will always be there. And anybody that has been in the rooms for a while, probably this particular paragraph grabs them differently every time. And it's grabbing me really strong this morning that I really, as far as they lost their legs, they never grow new ones. Well, it seems preposterous, doesn't it? But that is the way my thinking can get me. It can try to convince me that I can grow new legs. And only somebody that's just been beaten down over and over again by this disease finally accepts that. And I am now realizing that I'm a human being and that there is a hole in my heart and only my higher power can fill that. And I'm just grateful to learn more and more about how powerless I am. I have that disease of more. Recently, I've been diagnosed with osteoporosis, which I just thought, no, that can't be. They've gotten me mixed up with somebody else because I'm on a food plan, because I've been eating right and I've been, you know, in this program, and everything's supposed to be really good now from here on out. Well, here we go again. You know, just that disease of thinking that, you know, I'm special and that, you know, I'm not going to ever have any more problems because I've gotten this program, don't you know? So I'm just really grateful to be here. I need to hear honesty. I need to hear humility. And these are the things that I just appreciate about all of you. And so I'm going to pass. I'm grateful to be here. And thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Lee H. from Tennessee. Next up, we have Dorita P., followed by Nancy R., and then Michelle. And before she comes on, just to remind you, we're in Chapter 3, fourth paragraph on page 30 into the top of 31. Dorita, please come in and share with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. Can I be heard?
Yes, we hear you well.
Okay, thank you. My name is Dorita Pittman. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody did not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. And I'd like to welcome any newcomers that may have joined us this morning. I really like this analogy. Bill or whoever came up with it really said it. You know, we are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. I can't think of a better analogy. You know, we know amputees, and a lot of us are amputees, and you know, some diabetes primarily. So we know about that fact, and it won't change. And I was grateful to read that and to know that. Well, of course, when I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous, I didn't like that because I didn't want to be a compulsive overeater. Like, who wants to be an addict? Who wants to be out of control? So the very first few times I read it, I'm like a person who lost my legs. I mean, like, is it that permanent? I thought I just had a little food problem. I eat a few too many donuts. You know, that was my only problem. But come to find out, I don't have a food problem. I have a character problem. You know, I found out I was selfish. I didn't know that. I thought I was kind and giving, but I didn't realize when I gave, and I had to get something back. I didn't realize the fact that when I gave and had to get something back, that was still selfish. That was still selfish. I'm so really grateful for this program. And it says, in some instances, there has been brief recovery, followed always by still worse relapse. I lost 100 pounds, and it was off for like 14 years, and that was 3 years ago. And I guess I could say I'm in relapse now, I guess. It's hard for me to say, you know, I'm not in relapse right this moment. And what I know is that's all I have is right this moment. So I'm just really grateful for this program, and I think I passed it back. Thank you.
Dorita, thank you. That's Dorita P. from Ohio. Next up, we have Nancy R., followed by Michelle M., and then Vinny S. Nancy, come on in and share with us, please.
I'm now unmuted. Thank you. I'm Nancy R., a compulsive overeater, recovered in New York, recovered for today. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Good to hear you. I'm very grateful to be on the line today. I'm looking at this beautiful writing. I love Bill W.'s writing, so divinely written it feels, of course. Men who've lost their legs. It reminds me, of course, of the Jaywalker, the powerful images that, for me, I need to read. I need to read this. It's a lot of warnings about where I'm at. Always, I circle always, because it's true. It's always followed by a still worse relapse. All this I need to read. Yes, I'm in step one in this chapter as still. As I have heard Harlan say, always, I only think about what food does for me, not to me. I can't remember what it does to me, only what it does for me. I heard Harlan mention his name. I look forward to hearing him speak. I have permanent progressive fatal written above here. I have his words from The Common Sense of Drinking, I believe, Peabody. All the warnings. I have a new sponsor, because my sponsor in the last 14 months and few weeks needed to do the steps again. And with my new sponsor, she said something very touching to me a few days ago. We just started to work together. Because every sponsor needs a sponsor. And she said, let's make a commitment to be honest with each other. And this is what this book is about, teaching me the honesty. I will never be anything but a pickle now that I have transformed. I spent over, 30 years to accept that I have this disease. And it is never too late, never too late. I am all in, as I've heard Nancy J say, her husband said, you're all in. I'm quoting other fellows that I love. I'm sorry if that's inappropriate. But in any event, I'm grateful to be abstinent 449 days, but who's counting? I've had a year before, I've had years before, I've had a few years before, I've had relapses, but I am in abstinence, glorious abstinence, grateful to be a sponsor, to be working the steps again with my sponsee, and to be looking towards growth in my body, growth with my osteoporosis, growth with a new doctor, growth with taking care of the other problems I have.
That's time, Nancy.
Thank you, Kathy. Good to hear you.
Thank you for sharing. That was Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. That's Nancy R. from New York. Next up, we have Michelle, followed by Vinny, Lynn, and then Harlan. And after Harlan, I can take another lineup. Michelle, please come in and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle M. I am a recovered compulsive eater in Arizona. And thank you so much for your service, Kathy. I could never be a voice wrangler with the grace and patience that you have. And I rush too, so I apologize. About 3 years ago, when my sponsor was taking me through the book and another program, we stopped at this line where it said, we are men that have lost their legs. We never grow new ones. And she had me write over that, if I lost my legs and I cannot walk, that means I have to be carried. And I thought that was very profound. And then I kind of went on to the next sentence. And then listening to that today, where I am in recovery, and
and hearing about it today that really, really got to me about if I've lost my legs and I can't walk, I have to be carried. Now, in order for me to get where I want to go, to do what I want to do, and have my way without accepting that I have to be carried, I can do all kinds of things. And that's all human aid. All of those things are human aid. I can have someone push me. I can hire someone to drive me around. I can, you know, have people bring me things. But that's all relying on human aid. But if I've truly lost my legs, then I have to be carried beyond, because I'm beyond human aid, that means I have to trust. And that's where the spiritual piece came in for me that really clicked this morning. Is that really encapsulates in a very visual way for me the spiritual nature of the disease and the recovery. And is that if I surrender to God to carry me to where I have to go, that means I have to trust. And it's that simple, you know. Nothing else has worked. And I'm at the point now, I already want to try it. I'm just really excited about how the journey keeps unfolding, how the learning keeps getting more profound, and how I become more and more a part of in a group that I never thought I would ever want to be a part of. You know, it's the grand irony, and it just makes me so grateful, you know. So today, I can't go back to growing new legs, but I can trust of my higher power to get me to where I need to go and stay out of the results. Because if I'm invested in the outcome, I'm screwed. Screwed. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service on my path.
Thank you so much, Michelle N. from Arizona. Next up, we have Vinny S., followed by Lynn, and then Harlan. Vinny, please come in and share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Vinny S. from New York. I am a compulsive overeater. I love this particular paragraph because I went to a meeting last night, and this is exactly what the speaker said regarding that, basically, this particular paragraph. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. This is so true. And in this program now that I am struggling with, I could see that I need to do this work more seriously after a relapse recently. And it goes to show that you can't cut any corners, and you have to dig in very deep to understand that this is a threefold disease. And I can't go forward with my life being absent on a daily basis when life and death is on the line, and realize that I need to do what needs to be done so I can be rigorously honest with myself. And that is where I am at right now in this program. So I have to come out of the darkness and into the light. So it is written. The light shows me that is following these steps and moving forward with the right direction. And this program is amazing that I learn every single time I tune in to hear a speaker or reading the big book or going over it with my sponsor, more to be revealed. So it is written. So I just wanted to share that today and claim my seat. I want to thank you for your service, and everyone shares today. Everyone have a blessed day.
Vinny, thank you so much. That was Vinny S. from New York. Next up, we have Lynn, followed by Harlan, and I could take a few more names after Harlan. If you came in later, we're on page 30, fourth paragraph. We are like men who lost their legs. Reading to the top of 31 where it stops, but it hasn't done so yet. Lynn, when you come in, can you give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please? Is there a Lynn out there?
Can I be heard? Hello?
Yes, moderator, you're heard.
Thank you so much. If Lynn is not there, can we have Harlan come in, please?
Thanks, Kathy, for your service today. I hope that's good. When you get, I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Kathy, I'm outdoors, so if you give me, when you give me the reminder, give it to me ungently, as they say, please.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Silkworth, in the doctor's opinion, lays the groundwork for step one. Remember that this chapter is about step number one. But Dr. Silkworth lays the groundwork for us when he tells us that this disease is a disease of the mind and a disease of the body. He tells us of the physical allergy, and he is very, very clear that the only thing we have is entire abstinence. He tells us that any description of the alcoholic, which leaves out this physical factor, is incomplete. He lays the groundwork, but Richard Peabody, and thanks for the shout out, Nancy, in New York. Richard Peabody in 1930 published a book called The Common Sense of Drinking, which is one of the four books that shaped the big book. So vital is this information that Bill Wilson's copy of The Common Sense of Drinking is in the AA archives as we speak. The Common Sense of Drinking tells us that the disease is permanent, the disease is progressive, and the disease, if untreated, is 100% fatal. Permanent, progressive, and if untreated, fatal. Now, my food plan does not treat this disease. It's an important tool, but it does not treat this disease. As we're going to find out in The Man of 30 and Fred and Jim, abstinence and sobriety do not treat this disease. The only thing that treats this disease is a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. Abstinence does not treat this disease. You could be abstinent for 1,000 years, and the disease is still going and still progressing and still there. Now, a spiritual awakening does not eradicate the disease. Let's be clear. A spiritual awakening does not eradicate this disease, but a spiritual awakening will arrest it to the point where we can live with the illness instead of dying from the illness. Very clear distinction. Remember that he says in there that it is always followed by a still worse relapse. Always. Not sometimes, not most of the time, not might be or could be, always followed by still worse relapse. So we see in this chapter more about alcoholism. They wanted the chapter, Bill wanted the chapter, not they, more truth about alcoholism. And the fellowship made him pull back on that because they said it made us sound like experts on alcoholism, which we are not. But the bottom line on Peabody is pathetic. He published this in 1930, but he never got to a spiritual solution. Thank you. He died of his own alcoholism in 1935, which is pathetic. But his knowledge and his common sense of drinking help us even today. Thank you for your service, Kathy. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Harlan, thank you. That's Harlan G. from Arizona. Is there a Lynn out there that I didn't get the last initial and face?
Lisa.
If there's no Lynn,
Lynn,
I'm sorry, did you say Lynn S?
No, I'm sorry.
Good morning. I think it might have been Kimberly K., but maybe not.
Hello, this is Beverly R.
Okay, so I have Kimberly, Beverly, and
Liz
I can take
S.
one more.
Liz R.
Oh, maybe it was Wait. I think it was Liz S. then. It's not Lynn. It's Liz F.
Alexa.
So we have okay. Here's what I have for today. Liz S., Kimberly, and Beverly. Liz, can you share with us? Liz, are you out there? Can you share with us?
This is Liz S. Can I be heard?
Please share with us. We hear you well. I just need to know where you're calling from, and then you can...
Thank you so much, Kathy. This is Liz S. from Oregon. Good morning. Thank you for your service. Everybody's been so wonderfully enthusiastic about this reading. What I wanted when I came into visions was I wanted abstinence, total abstinence, losing my legs forever, to be fun. I wanted to want it because it was fun. And I'm not there, but I am at a place where I accept it as real. And it makes me sad. It makes me sad. And I'm angry and I'm pissed off that I have this disease. And the only saving grace, the saving grace, is that I get through my realization to be connected. I'm connected to my higher power. And that connection is more valuable to me than my legs, than anything. Lots of things don't have legs, and they get around just fine. And other people may have legs. They may not use them very wisely. Better that I should not have legs and simply go to places which are nurturing for my soul. And that's what I do in this program. That's what I do with the help of you people and my higher power. I get filled up. I have to accept something that seems sad. And I'm not jumping around going, whoopee, look at me. I'm an overeater and I'm compulsive. No. But I do get to say, I have found peace. And I can't think of a better thing in this life. Thank you for letting me share and I pass.
Thank you so much. That's Liz S. from Oregon. Next up, we have Kimberly, followed by Beverly. Kimberly, please come in and share with us and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, please.
Good morning, everyone. Kimberly K. from New Hampshire. It's so wonderful for me to hop on this meeting at 7 every morning. It truly is God's divine intervention. The thing here, we are like men who have lost their legs. Heard so many definitions today of that and insight. I totally related. And the thing about this compulsive overeater, yeah, Kimberly K., compulsive overeater in recovery. I really was in such denial. I thought, poof, you know, I would just, I don't know, not have to work so hard and end up being eat what I wanted and enjoy it and yet still say, oh, you know, I wish these fit better. I wish I looked better. Everybody's looking at me
being fat. Oh, I hate being fat. And coming around here and really diving into the big book has taught me and shown me that I am diseased. I do have a disease. And if I don't bring that to God every day, then I am dead. I am dead. I was becoming dead. I didn't have a glow anymore. I didn't have that joie de vivre, and I think I'm coming around to having that, even in the face of this is my third time back, and decade after decade, you know, obviously getting heavier and heavier. I shake my head thinking of the normal eater. I have a friend, Lennon, who we've been out together, and somehow she can order a meal, not figure out how she can make it fancy and big, quantity and decadence. She can order the meal. She knows how to just discipline herself to eat it and then take it home in a doggy bag. So I've always marveled at her discipline and ability to do that. And I suppose I would call that envy. I'm jealous of her. And I love her dearly. She is a beautiful woman in and out. And I'm just so grateful that God took me to my knees and guided me to another OA meeting and brought me to my knees. I said, look it, if me telling God, look it, this is where I know I need to be. The beauty of virtual and the beauty of telephone and meetings, I can't drive, so being able to be on and enjoy and absorb and sponge up everything we get from a telephone meeting is remarkable. And that was God's divine intervention. He knew better than I knew, for sure, for sure. And we've heard it said, you know, this disease is physical, mental, and spiritual. I thought I had the God piece, so I'm fine. Sponsor, you don't got to worry about that. I mean, some people might have to think about that.
That's fine, Kimberly.
I understand. I hope everyone has a blessed day, and thank you for listening.
Kimberly, thank you for sharing. Kimberly K. from New Hampshire. And Beverly, you'll be our last share for this morning. Please come in and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Sorry, Alexis. Come on in, Beverly.
Hello, this is Beverly I. from Silver Spring, Maryland, and I'm a returning member and glad to be here, and I am also in another OA program, and that's my main program. I'm just visiting, I guess, this program, and thanks for the lovely lady who invited me today, and I just wanted to say that my situation is unusual. I can eat anything I want in moderation. And there's this particular food that I eat once every 4 months. And if I stick to once every 4 months, it's okay. And I also enjoy some other things that others might consider hard in our program. And I'm gradually losing weight. And I'm just asking for prayers for myself and my sister. We both suffer from a lot of illnesses. And mine is chronic pain. And I don't want to go to the meeting for chronic pain because I love my OA meeting so much. And they bless me so much. And I hope to continue coming. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. Beverly, thank you. That was Beverly R. from Maryland. Alexis, we have a minute and a half. Would you like to come on in?
Yes, thank you. It's Alexis S. from New Jersey. I know firsthand people losing both legs because my grandmother, two uncles, and an aunt had both of their legs off, and three of them lived with us. I had to take care of them. I was the oldest girl. So when they had one leg, it wasn't too bad. They could hobble with a chair with their knee bent and walk along like that. My one uncle was an alcoholic, and he would stay out very late at night before he had his legs off. And he would come home and he would throw up in his trophies from playing basketball. He was a very good athlete. And
this time, Alexis, I'm sorry to cut you short. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you for taking us out, and I'm glad you got in. I'm sorry to have to cut you short. And thank you to everyone who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, April 14th, 2026, is 23,366. That's 23366. We're now going to close from the reading from the big book on page 164. Followed by this serenity prayer. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Come on in, Tamara.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning. Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.